The 100-year-old Dozier School for Boys closed in 2011, but in recent years, former students revealed abuse, torture, and murder at the school over the decades. A recent panel discussion at Tampa Bay History Center featured some key players in the investigation, including Tampa Bay Times reporter Ben Montgomery, victim activist Glenn Varnado, whose uncle's remains were found at the school's grounds, and USF forensic anthropologist Aaron Kimmerly. Will bring you highlights of that discussion on Florida Matters this afternoon at 6:30. Part of that discussion included questions from the audience.
Have all the bodies been identified?
No. 21 have been identified, and so the rest have not. Some of the samples have been resubmitted, so there's some DNA testing still going on, but most of those will remain unidentified.
You talked at one point about several people being replaced. Leadership of the school was replaced seven or eight times in a nine-year period. Who was overseeing that leadership? And apparently they knew something wasn't quite right. They kept replacing this person. Has there ever been any accountability to anyone, true accountability, that ran the school?
I think Ben might be the best one to answer that. Go ahead, Ben.
The secretary of the Department of Juvenile Justice at that time was Frank Peterman, the former legislator out of St. Petersburg. He was a short-timer, though. He was replaced by Wansley Walters, kind of an activist out of South Florida who wound up – she was the one who closed the school finally. Was there accountability? No. I mean, besides firing them, there wasn't much that could be done. The Department of Justice did a modern investigation that actually came out after the school had been closed or right around the time the school had been closed, pointing out all sorts of problems with the school. But accountability, I think, sort of remains elusive, right?
Ben, correct me.
One of the guards, the one-armed man, a man named Troy Tidwell, who I've talked to 200 men who say he's the guy. He's my nightmare. He's the guy who beat me senseless. He's alive. He's been deposed. When the White House boys brought a class action lawsuit, he said he never gave more than 12 spankings. When all the boys talk about how they could hear the straps scraping the wall and then the ceiling, and then they expected the bang, after that. Unfortunately, fact is, the statute of limitations has expired on every crime except for capital rape and murder.
I'd like to also speak to the accountability question, because I think and Ben, maybe you and Aaron can both help me on this if I'm stating it incorrectly, but around 1904, I believe, was the first report that the Florida legislature got, 03, yeah. So since 1903, that school was getting failing grades, if you will, or failing reports being sent on how the school was doing to the state legislature or the state of Florida, and the legislature got those reports every year and knew every year the legislature and the governor knew the school was failing every year since 1903. Claude Kirk actually went there during his administration as the governor of Florida, toured the facilities. A kid, as a story, read it out of a paper, a kid actually ran out into the field, grabbed him by the knees, and said, "Please, sir, go over and look in that room." And he pointed over to the White House. And Claude Kirk walked over, looked into the White House, made him unlock the door so he could see the deplorable conditions inside that building, left there, picked up a microphone in front of a group of reporters, and said, "If I had a kid up here, I'd be back by nightfall with a rifle." But nothing changed.
That was victim activist Glenn Varnado, along with Ben Montgomery at the Tampa Bay Times and USF forensic anthropologist Aaron Kimmerly. Hear more of this discussion on Florida Matters this afternoon at 6:30.